This morning we continue working our way through the letter of James, and we'll be looking at James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. So I invite you to open up your Bibles with me to James chapter 4 as we look at verses 11 and 12 this morning. As we get ready to turn our attention to God's word, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up your word together, it's our prayer that you will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. James chapter 4, beginning with verse 11. Let's pay careful attention because this is God's holy word. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, Gordon MacDonald tells of a time he was speaking with a close personal friend. MacDonald explains, "This friend was a number of years older than I was. And as we walked down the street, the name of a common friend came up, and I said something unkind about that person. It was sarcastic. It was cynical. It was critical and a put down. My older friend stopped, turned, and faced me until his face was right in front of mine. With deep, slow words, he said, 'Gordon, a man who says he loves God would not say a thing like that about a friend.'" Gordon MacDonald goes on to say that he could have put a knife into my ribs and the pain would not have been any less. "But you know something? There have been 10,000 times in the last 20 years that I have been saved from making a jerk of myself. When I've been tempted to say something unkind about a brother or a sister, I hear my friend's voice say, 'Gordon, a man who says he loves God would not speak in such a way about a friend.'" Now, as we've worked through this letter, as we've worked through James, we've seen that faith is proved genuine by what we do. "I will show you my faith by what I do," James tells us. And along the same line is our obedience to God's law, this living out of our faith. We show our love for God, we show our love for our neighbor by obeying his commands, loving him above all else, loving our neighbor as ourself. And as we think about that, when it comes to our mouth, when it comes to our tongue, when it comes to the words that we say, our words, our mouth, our tongue reveal what is in our hearts. Is it a true love for your neighbor, for your brother or your sister in Christ? Or has your heart made it clear that it's full of hate and slander for your brother or your sister? Jesus tells us that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when we are slandering our brother, the issue isn't so much of what's coming out of our mouth as much as what's coming out of our heart. In our passage this morning, James is wrapping up the section that talks about our speech, the power of the tongue, taming the tongue. Beginning of this chapter, we looked at fighting and quarreling, and now we're looking at slandering one another. And the problem of each of these is that our actions, the words that come out of our mouth, show who we really are. Show if we're loving God and loving our neighbor or not. Just like salt water and fresh water can't flow out of the same spring, James has told us, in the same way, you can't say that you love your neighbor as yourself and then slander him or her. And the reason, the motivation behind our obedience, not slandering, is because God has called us to love each other. When we love, we are living out who we are in Christ, the love that is ours in Christ. As we look at our passage this morning, we'll first of all look at the command. Secondly, the explanation. And then third and finally, the love. And so first, the command. The context here in James is focused on the fights and the quarrels of the Christian community. We saw that back. If you have your Bibles open, you can look at chapter 4, verse 1. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? That's the overarching question. And James has already told us about the power of our tongues. If you go even further back to chapter 3, that's the source of our fights. That's the source of our quarreling. It's that heart issue. And now he's wrapping up this section by telling us, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. Now, this is a difficult passage because of how direct it is. James brings it home to us as Christians. He's talking to Christians. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers, sisters in Christ. The one who speaks against a brother, a sister in Christ, or judges his brother or sister in Christ, speaks evil against the law. Do not speak evil. And this hits each one of us. And what we need to keep in mind as we look at this command is where it's coming from. It's it being expressed. It's coming out of the law, as James calls it, to love your neighbor. And it's out of this love for God and love our neighbor that we're told not to speak evil about our brother and about our sister. Do not speak evil. Verse 11, do not speak evil against one another. Now that Greek word translated there, do not speak evil, in our passages is commonly used to describe public false accusations or disparaging comments or private grumblings. Another way to translate this Greek word is slander. Jerry Bridges explains that many slanderers probably are unaware that they are spreading falsehood. They believe their negative accusation and censorious remarks to be reasonably well-founded. And they may even see themselves as having a special calling to inform the world of someone's evil, or to preserve a church's purity by eliminating its less than perfect members. What is slander? As we look at this passage this morning, what is slander? Slander is lying about someone or misrepresenting the facts about someone in a way that damages their reputation. Slander means speaking accusingly against someone, speaking falsely or lying about them, speaking about them in a degrading or dishonorable way. The goal of slander is to break someone down, to make them sound bad with harmful, hurtful speech, with accusations that are not completely true or twisted to sound worse than they actually are. We have a perfect example of slander when it comes to politics. Political campaigns run on slander. They are notorious for slandering their opponents. You take your opponent's statement and you take it out of context, and then you describe your opponent's motive behind that statement in a way that is completely negative and slanderous. Or you take some isolated action that occurred years ago and you do the same thing. And the goal is to break down the opponent's reputation. The goal is to create a false impression by using slander. But do we as Christians struggle with slander? Do we do this? The answer is yes. James is writing this to Christians. We slander when we attribute wrong motives to people, even though we can't see their hearts or know the details of their circumstance. We slander when we say that a brother or a sister is not committed when he or she doesn't practice the same spiritual disciplines we do or engage in the same activities that we engage in. We slander when we misrepresent another person's position or beliefs on a subject. We make them sound questionable or bad when we are the ones who haven't determined what their position or belief actually is. We slander when we blow out of proportion another person's sin and make that person appear to be more sinful than he or she really is. And in that way, slander is related to gossip. Gossiping is spreading negative information about someone else, even if the information is true. But slander takes things to the next level. Because the intention of slandering, speaking evil against one another, is to break each other down, tearing down the other person, breaking down their reputation to gain some kind of advantage over the other person. Slander is a form of lying. When we exaggerate the situation, when we blow it out of proportion, when we misrepresent someone else's motives or even failures, when we fail to tell the whole truth and leave out important parts of the story so that people think badly about the individual we're slandering, it's lying. Bearing false testimony against your neighbor. Ninth commandment. What is God's will for you in the ninth commandment? That I never give false testimony against anyone. Twist no one's words, not gossip, nor slander, nor join in condemning anyone without a hearing or without a just cause. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers and sisters. Now, what James is telling us this morning is that more than just information. He's not just giving us a definition of slander to tuck away in our brains. He is giving us this instruction to apply it to our lives as we strive to live out our faith. What's the practical application for us sitting here this morning when it comes to these instructions? Do you speak evil against one another? Do you slander each other? Do you gossip or criticize others? Do you show impatience or anger through unkind words that tend to humiliate or hurt the person who's the object of your impatience or anger? And if we're honest, the answer, our answer to each of these questions is yes. Yes, I do speak evil against others. Yes, I gossip and I criticize and I show impatience and anger through unkind words that hurt and humiliate. And that's why Christ has come. Because of the words that have come out of our mouths. Now, why do we do this? Why do we say these things? Well, James says it's the desires, the unmet passions and desires of your heart. Maybe that person offended us, disagreed with us, hurt us, and so we get back at them in the way we talk about them to others. We get back. back at them by what we say about them, the facts that we choose to include and the facts that we choose to leave out. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, you don't get it, and so you slander. Young people, what do you say about people who are your friends? What do you say about them after you've had a disagreement with them or a fight with them or after they've done something to hurt you? What do you text your other friends about that friend? What do you post or write about that friend? Is it uplifting? Does it build them up? Or does it break them down, tear them down? Boys and girls, have you ever said anything bad about your friends or about your brother or your sister? Because God tells us to love our friends and to love our brother and our sister and not say mean things about them or call them bad names. And what about the rest of us? We may be more mature as far as the years go, but spiritually, this is still something we're struggling with. Think about what you say about others. Do you criticize? Do you slander? Do you break others down? Do you label them without checking the facts? Do you speak about your brother or your sister out of anger with unkind words, intending to break them down in that other person's perspective? James goes on to explain why slandering, why speaking evil is such a big deal in our second point this morning, the explanation. Our second point here is the explanation that James gives us. He goes on to explain what is happening when we slander. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. So when we slander, we are being judgmental. And being judgmental means that we have taken the law and placed ourselves as judge over the law. James goes on. If you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. So now you've not obeyed the law, you're placing yourself above the law. And if you've done that, then you've become a judge. And his point in verse 12 is that there's only one lawgiver and judge. He who is able to save and to destroy. So who are you to put yourself as judge? Who are you to judge your neighbor? It's a rhetorical question. What qualifies you to be judge of humanity? What qualifications do you have to make these judgments? Here you have kind of a Job moment. At the end of Job when the Lord appears to him in the storm and, "Were you there, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth?" Well, here James is coming at us who are judgmental. Saying, who are you to judge? You're trying to take the place of God here. You're placing yourself above the law. You're taking him off of the judge's bench and putting yourself in place of God and casting judgments with your critical speech and your slander. Slander is the same as judgment. Anyone who speaks against or slanders his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. Here's the crucial link to understanding what's going on in James. James connects slandering your brother with judging your brother. There is a standard. And when it comes to slander, the standard is my standard. And when they break my standard, I punish them by what I say about them. I put myself above the law, and now I am the judge and the jury. And I find them guilty. And I punish them by what I say about them. Jerry Bridges explains, "The sin of judgmentalism is one of the most subtle of our respectable sins, because it is often practiced under the guise of being zealous for what is right. It's obvious that within our conservative evangelical circles, there are myriads of opinions on everything, from theology to conduct to lifestyle and politics. Not only are there multiple opinions, but we usually assume that our opinion is correct. That's where trouble with judgmentalism begins, because we equate our opinion with the truth. And we treat our opinions as if they are the law of God. We have made our opinions law. We have taken the place of God as judge and have declared the verdict against our brothers and our sisters with our judgmentalism. This is how slandering a fellow believer is also slandering the law. It does what the law specifically prohibits or says don't do, to set one's own judgments over the law is implicitly a degradation of the law, a denigration of the law. And this should be a sobering thought, because those within the church who slander their brothers or sisters often see themselves as the ones who are upholding and safeguarding the word of God, the ones who are zealous for the truth. We know that James is all about testing if our faith is real, testing the genuineness of our faith by what we do. You show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. And in a similar way, how you look at God's law, how you love your neighbor as yourself, is shown by your life, is shown by your obedience, your love for your neighbor. And when you're slandering your neighbor, when you're judging your neighbor in a judgmental way based on your opinions, declaring that they are lawbreakers, that they have violated your law, your standard, by the very act of slandering, you in fact are breaking the law of love. And we may say we love God's law and we obey God's law. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. But when you fail to actually do what the law says, love your neighbor as yourself, you're actually proving by your actions that in fact you don't care. So not only is slander the same as judgment, but it's also judgment against the law and judging the law. Do you see how we're snowballing here? Boys and girls, if the conditions are just right, you know how you can go outside and start with a small snowball and start rolling it along the ground. And as you roll it, more and more snow collects and you end up with a bigger and bigger snowball. Well, that's the point that James is making here. You start out with some evil speech, some critical comment towards your brother and your sister, but it's snowballing. It's getting bigger and bigger. We speak evil against someone, but it doesn't stop there. It grows. Because in speaking evil against someone we were told to love, we're now speaking against God's law. Criticism of a fellow believer involves standing in judgment over that believer, but also judgment against the law. And if you're judging the law, then that means you're not keeping the law, but sitting in judgment over the law. And so at that point, you've made yourself judge, kicked God off the throne and taken his place. Things have gotten out of control here. So the irony of judgmentalism and criticizing and slandering someone is that you're accusing them of breaking the law. And in doing so, you are the one who is failing to keep the law, failing to do exactly what you are accusing and slandering them of doing. It's a classic example of the pot calling the kettle black. It's like me gossiping about someone's gossip problem. Now, we need to be careful or aware at this point of the difference between making a judgment call, biblically speaking, and being judgmental. What's the difference? Being judgmental and making a judgment call according to God's word. James is not saying here that Christians never have to make a judgment call or be discerning about what is right and wrong. When he says, who are you to judge your neighbor, that's often used as an excuse for doing nothing. When in fact, it's our Christian duty to exercise discernment and to make those judgment calls. We can't use, well, who am I to judge my neighbor? The difference is, whose law are you applying? Whose standard are you using? James is not forbidding Christians from determining what is right and what is wrong based on God's word. He's not forbidding or saying that you don't do the difficult work of holding each other accountable to what God's word says. Paul is dealing with sexual immorality in 1 Corinthians 5, and he says, I've already passed judgment on the one who does this, just as if I were present. So he's making a judgment call. But it's based on God's word. What Scripture forbids is being judgmental or slandering one another. This isn't loving each other enough to hold each other accountable to God's word, but rather it is breaking each other down with our words, which is the very opposite of loving your neighbor. What James is rebuking, what James is saying, don't do this to, is the prideful, jealous, critical, slanderous speech by which we condemn others. And the snowball continues to grow. We speak evil against one another, which means we're speaking against God's law when we slander or judge. What we're doing is taking God's place, who is the one and only judge. The last part of verse 11 says, if you judge the law, you're not a doer of a law, but a judge. You're placing yourself above God. The last part of verse 11 explains that when you slander your brother, judgmental criticism towards your brother, you're judging the law. And when you judge the law, you're not in fact keeping it or placing yourself under it, but rather sitting in judgment on it. You're taking the place who is the only lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? At this point, James is describing the slander, this speaking evil, as the worst kind of pride. It's the strongest sin of rebellion, because slander is the expression of a prideful heart that has put us in place of God. We've taken him off of the throne and put ourselves there instead. Sitting above the law, judging people. To slander a brother or a sister is to take on God's role as the ultimate judge. And that's why James ends with this pointed question. Trying to put things back into perspective. But who are you? Who are you to judge your neighbor? Who are you to make this judgment? Who are you to slander your neighbor? Because instead of slandering, third and finally this morning, we are called to love our neighbor. What's our third and our final point this morning? The love. The foundation of the commands that James is giving us this morning, do not speak against one another, brothers. Do not speak evil against one another. So there you have the negative command. The positive side is love your neighbor. That's the motivation. If you think of question answer 112, the positive application is I should love the truth. Positive application of the ninth commandment. I should love the truth, speak it candidly and openly acknowledge it. I should do what I can to defend and advance my neighbor's honor and reputation. The reason we are loving is because that's exactly what God has done for us while we were still sinners. While we were still speaking evil against one another. He sent his one and only son, the word of truth, because of our lies, because of our slander, because of our gossip. Instead of us being the judge and lawgiver, we leave that up to God. When it comes to God's law, when it comes to judgment, when it comes to love, all of that is fulfilled in Christ. He is the one who endured the lies, the slander for our salvation, to save us from the things that we say. He's the one who endured the wrath and ultimate judgment of God in our place for our judgmental comments. For the slander that we have spoken against our neighbors, the neighbors we were told to love. And he experienced God's judgment for the times when we tried to be judge and made slanderous proclamations against each other. And he loved us enough to die for us, to take our place. And it's in light of that love that we are then told, don't speak evil against one another. Love one another. What we need to hear this morning, what I want to leave you with this morning, because this passage does a good job of bringing to mind the times that we've said unkind things when we should have been loving. But what we need to hear in light of our guilt of slander are the words of Christ who died for our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The opposite of slander is love. And that's what God has poured out onto us while we were still opening our mouths and breaking each other down. That's the love that we are called to have for God and for each other. The reason that we don't slander is because God has called us to love. To love him, to love each other. And when we love, we are living out who we are in Christ, the love that is ours in Christ, loving our neighbor as ourselves because of the love that God has for us in Jesus. We've seen in James, as I conclude this morning, that in Christ, mercy triumphs over judgment. In Christ, God gives us more grace. And in Christ, he has shown us what love and truth are. And so in light of that, we live out as Christians the love, striving to love God with all that we are, striving to love each other as ourselves. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord, praising you and thanking you for the forgiveness that is ours in Christ alone. For the forgiveness that we have, for the words that we have spoken, the slander, the gossip, the lies, have been paid for and forgiven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And now it's our prayer that we will love with the same love that you have showered onto us, that we will love the truth and speak it openly and candidly, building each other up, expressing the same love that you have for us in Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.